way back when the New York Yankees were playing the Milwaukee Braves, and the Braves had an all-star named Hank Aaron. If you haven't heard of Hank Aaron, just go to the car and wait until this. No, I'm teasing. They're playing in the World Series, and of course the Yankees had a lot of star players, one of whom was their catcher, Yogi Berra. And he was known for his ceaseless chatter. Kids today would probably say he talked trash or he talked smack, and it was his mouth was going the whole time. And he did it for a couple of reasons. One, he tried to pep up his teammates, but also he was trying to distract the other team and get in their head a little bit. And when Hank Aaron came to the plate, Yogi Berra says to him, of course, he's the catcher, so he's got very close proximity, and he said, "Henry, you're holding the bat wrong. You're supposed to hold it so you can see the trademark." And Hank Aaron said nothing in response, but the next pitch, he hit over the fence for a home run into the left field bleachers. And he ran around the bases, and he came back to home, and he said very quietly to Yogi Berra, "I didn't come here to read." Well, he knew his goal, and he was not going to be distracted from his goal. And so as we take this one-word journey, again, the sermon series is coming to an end, but it is really the start of our journey. And I've shared this, but 87% of us make New Year's resolutions, and 90% of us break them. Most before January is over. And that isn't to heap guilt or condemnation on anybody, quite the opposite. It's to say, there's got to be a better way. And that's what this one word journey is about, is finding that better way. Psalm 90 verse 12 says, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." And at the end of this year, at the end of 2026, we're all going to get somewhere. And my goal, and I'm sure your goal, is that each of us would get somewhere on purpose, and that we would have some say as to the direction that we are going. The sermon title today, Living Your One Word Out Loud. Now again, if you're early in the journey, you don't have your word yet, that's fine. This is still information for you once you get it. I've said this, and I think it bears repeating, and that's this. There's 52 weeks in a year. Better to wait until February to really get your God word and live the rest of the year with intention than to, it's January and this is enough. I'm picking one a day even if it's wrong. There's no pressure to hurry through to get it right. And I really want to encourage us to follow this process of listening, finding that word, and then today's focus is really living it out. You know, as Tony read from John 9, that key verse that she ended with, where the man born blind said, "I don't know whether he is a sinner," talking about Jesus, "but I know this, I was blind, and now I can see." What a testimony. And that's a reflection for us. What God has done in our lives, it's not a bless me club. There's no cul-de-sac Christianity. It's not about all me getting more blessings and me getting more blessings and all the things. It can be a me club. And Christianity is the opposite. God desires, yes, to do something in me, but not that it would stop with me. That he wants me to be a conduit. He wants me to be a vessel. In fact, sometimes he's doing things in me so that he can do things through me and maybe bless a lot more people than just me. I know this, as that blind, former blind man said, "I know this, I was blind and now I can see." I know this, I used to be filled with doubt and fear. Every night I went to bed, it was so uncomfortable. It was a race to get to sleep because I didn't like all the thoughts going through my head about what is life all about? What is my purpose? I lacked purpose. I lacked answers. I lacked direction. And it seemed like other people had some things figured out. And I was envious of them because I wanted to know, what is my purpose for being here? But I know this, my life was changed by Jesus. I can see spiritually. People used to share things with me, spiritual things, and I just kind of look at them. They just as well have been speaking another language because I didn't have spiritual eyes to see. And I'm so thankful that I can say, you know what? I do have meaning in my life. I do have purpose in my life. I have a direction. I have peace. I have joy. I sense the presence of God in my life. And I am happy as I have opportunity to share that with people, not in an obnoxious way that overwhelms them, but hopefully in a natural way that is just an expression of me living my life on a daily basis. Here's the big idea today. God gave you your one word to grow you, to glorify Himself, and to bless the people around you. Grow you, glorify Himself, and bless others. We've mentioned this before, but when we fly on an airplane and the flight attendant says something like, in the unfortunate loss of cabin pressure, an oxygen mask will descend from above and you put the elastic band around the back of your head and you put it on, and then they say something really funny, and breathe normally. I tend to breathe normally while I'm in a plane crash. But the real important announcement comes when they say this. If you are traveling with children or other passengers who need your assistance, be sure to affix your own oxygen mask first. And we've seen that sometimes with Christian brothers and sisters where they get so busy serving others, they skip the step of having that vertical connection to the Lord where I allow the Lord to fill me up. And I can't give what I don't have. And so it starts with me. That's not selfish. That's just wisdom that I need to be connected to the Lord. And it's especially true. Many of us have played the role of caregivers for children or a spouse, and you can get so wrapped up again in serving that we've had friends and family members who their own health declines because of them serving. And so it isn't selfish to say, okay, I'm going to serve, but I need to take some steps to make sure that I am healthy. Here's the best gift we can give to others, and that is this, that I would be healthy spiritually, and I would reflect the Lord in an accurate way. Not just, again, it's easy to talk about maybe some of my Bible knowledge. It's quite another matter to live it and display it, that even when I don't open my mouth, as St. Francis of Assisi said, to preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. That all of us are preaching a sermon every day. And again, this is not Fawn Lake Church. This is Fawn Lake Church. We are Fawn Lake Church. And people will judge Fawn Lake Church by the way we handle ourselves, not so much on Sunday morning, because we all look pretty good on Sunday morning, if I'm being, I mean, even me, I clean up pretty good, you know what I'm saying? The rest of the week, ooh, no. But on the golf course, on the basketball court, that's a challenge for me. Somebody elbows me, I don't think, you know, bless you, brother. Jesus loves you. I'm like, you do that again, I'm going to punch you in the throat. And then I'll pray afterwards and ask for forgiveness. That's not my first response. Or this happened a couple weeks ago. I was so fired up about it still, I didn't even share it. I was driving here on a Sunday morning, being a wonderful person in my car, and all of a sudden there's a guy next to me and he's jawing, he rolls his window down, and I don't even know what I did wrong. Maybe I didn't go fast enough when the light turned green. I don't even know. But I wasn't thinking, bro, I'm on my way to church. You should come. There's a wonderful speaker. It's me. I was thinking, you little something-something, what do you weigh, 160 pounds? Stop your car. I'm going to give you a lesson. I mean, seriously, most of the men in here are like, yeah. The women are like, don't you have a vote coming up for pastor? Here's why also it is so important is Jesus gave two commandments that he said are paramount. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. He didn't say there weren't other commandments. He simply said all the other commandments and laws and prophets' messages are built on the foundation of these two. To love your neighbor as yourself implies you love yourself. It starts with that. And we're naturally created to love ourselves and protect ourselves. You get a speck of dust in your eye. You don't think consciously to start blinking your eye to get rid of that, to protect your eye. It just happens. We are self-preserving. We love ourselves, but something happens sometimes where maybe because of outside influences and some of the strong messages, sadly, even from our own families, for people who grew up in families where the message may really take away from that, you're a lovable person. We really do need to practice self-love. And that's not self-aggrandizement. That's not self-worship. It's essential. It's step one. It's a prerequisite to me loving my neighbor. And now here's the process, just a reminder. Three things. First, we look in. I prepare my heart. I pray that prayer from Psalm 139 that David says, search my heart, O God, and see if there's any unclean way in me. I unplug. I get away from the distractions. I get away from the noise. And I ask three really important questions. What do I need most right now? It's different probably for each one of us. Maybe it's peace. Maybe I really need courage. Maybe I need focus. And then, what are the obstacles? What's in my way? Is it distractions? Are there certain habits I need to get rid of? Are there fears? Or is it just busyness? I'm doing so many things. You know, I said to a colleague several years ago, man, my schedule is really wonky. And I got to learn to say no. He said, you don't have a problem saying no. I don't. He said, no. Every time you say yes to something, like every time you say yes to a speaking engagement, you're saying no to something else. Because we all have 24 hours in our day. And so every time you add, something gets subtracted. For a lot of us, it's family time. Or it's solitude and prayer and reading the Bible and just sitting before the Lord. This will be amazing. This calls for a lot of transparency. I'll just pick on the men for a minute. And the women, if you don't answer truthfully, somebody here will call you out because they know better. They've been in your home. How many men in here have watched ESPN Sports Center and all of a sudden as you watch it, you realize, oh, I already saw this part. I've watched an hour and I've gone into the next one. Nobody? Thank you. Four of you are honest. The rest of you, you're just not honest people. No, maybe there's something different than that. But it's amazing how easy that hour flies by. But an hour of Bible reading for me? Man, I'm calling the freelance star, like press conference. You won't believe this. I read the Bible for an hour without stopping. Okay, I stopped twice for a snack, but I read it for an hour. What do I need most right now? What's in my way? What needs to go? What do I need to release in order to move forward that's holding me back? And so I unplug, I ask those questions, and then step two, after looking in, I look up. And now, instead of unplugging, I'm plugging in. I'm not plugging into the distractions. I'm plugging into the Lord himself. And I'm praying and I'm listening. And I ask these questions. What could God do both in me and through me this year? And to just think and pray aspirationally, what could happen? Not self-limiting prayers of, well, no, I'm kind of, you know, I'm not so good at this. No, what, when I think that way and pray that way, I'm really limiting God, because God is all about doing extraordinary things through ordinary people. Start with me. What would you think is the future of the youngest of 10 kids raised by a single mom? I mean, we were so poor growing up, we couldn't afford the OR. We were just po. You guys don't even know what I'm talking about. 5 brothers, 4 of them been through alcohol treatment. Hugged my mom for the first time when I had to as a junior in high school for National Honor Society. No affection. And I'm like, I want to be affectionate with my kids. I want to change it. But I'm telling you, statistically, I shouldn't be standing before you. Some of my high school teachers, they'd be like, I wouldn't have picked him. Shocker, I wouldn't have picked me either. What could God do through me? What could God do in me and through me? What could he do in you and through you? Not even long term, just this year, 2026, it's a really powerful question to set and bake in, and it'll make you a little uncomfortable because that's a stretch prayer. That's one that pushes you out of your comfort zone. And as one of my friends said, growth begins at the edge of your comfort zone. We tend to not grow in the comfort zone, right? The Wilsons lived in Colorado. My wife is from Littleton. And the first time I visited, she said something about the tree line. We don't have tree lines in Iowa. I didn't know what it was. But it's like at the mountain peak, it's like so crazy up there, whatever. Oxygen. I live with lack of oxygen every day at this altitude. Maybe that's my problem mentally. Like trees don't grow. There's snow or whatever, but you just see, oh, there's the tree line. That's where the trees stop. And we all want these mountaintop experiences, but nothing grows on the top of the mountain. And then you go to the valley, like, whoa, Colorado is all brown, but there's a green valley right there. We grow in the valley. Those are the low times in our life. We don't like that. Honestly, a lot of my prayers are, God, take me up to the mountaintop. Because I get stretched, it's uncomfortable down in the valley, but that's where my growth is. Another question as I plug in, which word on the list or in my heart feels like an invitation more than a task? Because again, we want to shift from what do I need to do to who do I want to become? Who could I become if I allow the Lord to work in me and through me? And then the third question as I plug in, which word aligns my need and God's purpose in my life? And hopefully that will help you narrow your list at least and press in. And then the third one, we look out. And this is about living your word. This is about having reminders in my life, posting it in prominent places, and then sharing it. And the question here is, how will I live my word out? Because again, I don't want to just choose a word. It's something on paper. I post it on social media. But this is a journey for me to take with the Lord, that it would change who I am. Where will I post it? Who will I tell? And again, this third part is where we really lean in. And I'll add another word, and that's to the slide. And that's this, to really make this sticky, I want to own it, I want to live it, and I want to share it. And we have some former teachers in our congregation, And anybody who's taught would quickly tell you, you learn so much more teaching a class than you do being a student in a class. Because I think there's all of us, we don't want to be hypocrites, we want to stay ahead of the class, and so you're doing a lot of study. And for us, there's a blessing when I share my word with someone, they get blessed, and I get blessed by the sharing of it. And so that's a powerful thing. And each of us, I think, should be able to say, okay, my one word for 2026 is this, because of this, and I'll keep it front and center in my life by blank. How will you do it? How will you keep it front and center? Now, a lot of the structure of this is based on a book called One Word, and three guys I know, one of whom you guys might know, Dan Britton, whose dad, Ed Britton, was a longtime resident and he lived in Northern Virginia, but he had a home at Lake of the Woods as well and was part of Lake of the Woods Church for many years and passed away a few years ago. But his brother Dan was one of our staff with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and a former supervisor of mine, Jimmy Page, and then a third guy, an author you may have heard of, John Gordon. The three of them wrote this book, One Word, and it was just based on a casual conversation. Again, somebody shared with Dan one year, what's your word for the year? And Dan had a list of New Year's resolutions, but it just really flipped the script for him to go with one word. And you see on your screen, the website getoneword.com, there's a lot of resources there. You can download posters, things to help you remember, to apply, to live it, to share it. And that is my word, invest, that you see there. How do I keep it front and center? It might be you put post-it notes on your mirror or the refrigerator, which I would only see like 14 times a day if I put it on my refrigerator, so maybe there's a better spot. Maybe you have a journal or a notebook and you put it on the cover. Maybe you make a little wall hanging if you're a creative person. Or does anybody know someone who has one of those label maker machines? They really like to use them. Have you noticed that? What are they called? Like, there's one called Cricut, right? Or Silhouette. I'm not a big crafty kind of guy, but I just know those people like to use those machines. And so ask them to do your word and put it on your water bottle, on your favorite coffee cup. And here's the opportunity. One, to remind me to keep it front and center before me, but also that it would give an opportunity for me to share with someone else. The sharing is not about me. It's not about my word. The sharing is like the man born blind who was healed. The sharing is to say, this is something God's doing in my life. That's more about the Lord than it is about me. Honestly, I do this one word process each year because of someone sharing the process with me. They shared their one word and I just thought, oh, that's really wise. This will show the age of our congregation. Maybe it's a keychain or your medicine or your vitamin thing. Again, put it on there. It could be janky. I mean, use a Sharpie, whatever. But stuff that you use daily to keep it before you. It doesn't have to be fancy. You see, these are really simple things. We have some artistic people in our congregation who would make this look a lot better, but it's not about the artistic nature as much as it's about the reminder and keeping it before me. But maybe it's a couple, maybe it's a family that does this together. Maybe it's a small group, it's a project where let's get together and make these. It might not be your thing to use a Sharpie on your hand. I'm just saying, maybe it's your kids or your grandkids, but again, to engage others in the process, and then you get creative. Maybe it's a painted rock, you know, that you put on your desk, or there's some really small ones. Some of them you can buy with your word already on there, and it's something to keep in your pocket And just as you feel it in your pocket each day, it's just that reminder to take you back, say a short prayer, something to share with others. And again, the greatest impact is that others would see God at work in my life. Maybe you're more creative, and there's your word also has an image that really speaks to you and inspires you. I'm not an artistic guy. I have done this. I was very glad to say I could read the words I had written. That was a big deal for me. But I've also, you know, again, some we use our talents in different ways. And then this is two families who did it together as a family, and all of their children. And that's a blessing for you. It might be an extended family where you get your kids and your grandkids involved. And I'll just say this, for the younger people, the power is they choose. And this is an opportunity not only for the focus and this process, but simply from the beginning that there's autonomy. You're not giving them their word. In fact, I would discourage you from even suggesting a word. I'd really think your word should be cleanliness. That tends to not go over well. Shocker. But autonomy and self-efficacy for them, and even identity as they try to become this word as they go through the process. It's been fun for me to even do this with groups and sports teams. You know, this team that each had a different individual word, but their team word was strong. And so there was an opportunity to just remind them. And, you know, I thought of this. If we were to do this, imagine on the new property, if we had a walkway of stones of everybody's words of what God was doing in them and through them, or a wall, and we just place those stones in the wall. I can't build a walkway or a wall, so I'm giving a to-do to somebody else. But we all have our gifts, right? And then for me, this is, whoops, how do I go back? Did I skip? Oh, I did. Oh, I had a picture, and I can show you. You can't see it from here. But I put on my phone that word on my screensaver. And so every time my phone wakes up, I see that, and it's a good reminder. Again, screensaver on your phone, on your computer, your iPad, whatever, just another idea. Here's one. If you have an Alexa, is that what that thing is called? Or just her voice is called Alexa? What do I know? But to program it, and all you have to do is talk to it. Again, you guys are really big tech people. But it's as simple as saying, Alexa, give me a daily reminder that my word is invest. She'll probably say, what time would you like that for? And you answer, and it's done, and you just get it. You don't even have to program anything. But again, for me, my word is invest. And again, where I feel the Lord is speaking to me is in this idea of it's not just spending time doing something, but what if I invested time doing that task or invested time in that person versus just spending time with that person. I'm going to share a couple scripture verses, and then I have a special presentation to share with you. James chapter 1, a great passage. We're getting there. Here we go. Verses 22 to 25. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Now, here's one summary of this verse. To attend church faithfully, to hear God's word, is to make a fool of yourself if you don't apply it, if you don't do it. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. That's what the Bible says here. The blessing is getting those instructions and following those instructions. We've all been upset with our kids who intended to do something we asked them to do, right? They just didn't do it. And again, I'm not talking about God being angry or this and that, but it says when you hear it, you do it, then there's a blessing in that. And that we could say the opposite, that I don't experience that blessing when I only hear it. Ephesians 5 says, imitate God, follow the example of Christ. And again, this is action. I'm taking this word and I'm really applying it to my daily life. Matthew chapter 5, we've shared about this, where the Lord says, you are the light of the world. No one would light a lamp and keep it hidden. You light a lamp to let it shine, and then it says this, let your light so shine before others so that they will praise your heavenly Father. Isn't that interesting? I shine my light, but they don't praise me. That's not the goal. What a really awesome guy. Boy, she really is all that in a bag of chips. See how she has that nice wall hanging? You know, all artistic with her word on it? I should be more like her. No, ultimately, the praise will go to our Heavenly Father. And here's a reminder. We're the moon, we're not the sun. The moon looks pretty awesome at night, but I got a secret. The moon's a joke. The moon's an imposter. It has no light of its own. It's just reflecting the sun. Now, if the moon's your favorite, sorry, I didn't mean to be so rude about the moon. But to praise the quality of the light of the moon, there is no light from the moon. It simply is a reflection of the sun, and that's us. So I mentioned a special presentation. Since my word is invest, I thought this would be good time to maybe practice what I'm preaching literally. Alan, would you come forward? This is not to embarrass you, sorry. Yes, you're not in trouble. So funny, my daughter had a kindergarten teacher and she used to say, kids, and she'd have them rest. Let's put your head on the table. You're not in trouble. You're not in trouble. You're not in trouble. But this is my favorite Bible of all, and I told Alan I had a Bible for him. Alan is part of the Wilson family. That's not your last name, though, right? Your last name is? Okay, and I was going to misspell it, so I did present that in here, but I'll put your last name on there because I wrote in ink and didn't want to mess it up, so I'll do that after. But wanted to give you that, and my prayer would be that this wouldn't just be a book. It would be a real blessing in your life. Now, it is just a book. It's not magic, and God's not mad at me if I hit it or mistreat it. It is just a book, but it contains these words that, again, if you read them and you apply them, there's incredible impact in there. And so that would be my prayer for you. May I say a prayer for you? Awesome. Would you guys, I know this is uncomfortable for you, but would you extend a hand towards Alan as I pray for him? God, we pray for Alan. We thank you for bringing him to town, and we pray that, Lord, this would be his home long into the future, and he would, as you lead him, God, to be part of this family or maybe another church family, but it would be our hope that he would be here with us. And we pray, God, that you would answer each of his prayers, even the ones he hasn't prayed out loud, but he's just thought in his mind or his heart, God, that he would have the career that he desires to have, he would have the home he desires to have, you would give relationships, new friendships for him in this area, people who would invest in him and he would invest in them, and it would be a blessing all around. God grow him, even through the times that are outside of his comfort zone, God, that he would be stronger as a result, and he would be sure to give you glory as you do a work both in him and through him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're welcome. There you go. Enjoy. You betcha. You know, one time in college, I think it was my junior year, and we had this crazy schedule where we were playing on the road. I was playing basketball at Oral Roberts University, and we played at Miami, and then we went to LSU, and then went back to Florida and played in the Gator Bowl Classic, and away from school, and sadly, it's such big money now, and the NCAA classes don't necessarily come first with the schedules, but I was dating at the time, and all hot and heavy with this girl, and she had a letter from her. And I remember we're in this hotel, and I go to the hot tub, and the other white guy from the basketball team was in the hot tub with me. That's a joke, but it's true. His name is Mike. And he's like, "What's wrong with you?" I'm like, "What?" And he said, "You look like all giddy." And I said, "I just read this letter from my girlfriend." And he's like, "You got to read it." Now, he dated he dated her roommate, my wife's roommate. She's my wife now. She was my girlfriend then. And so I knew he knew her. They were good friends. And so I let him read the letter. He does this. Literally, he does this. Shrugs. And that was it. And the huge difference was he wasn't in love with the person who wrote the letter, right? And again, you can take this analogy too far, and I don't mean to do it that way, but if I never read the Bible and feel drawn in, then maybe there's a lack of love with the person who wrote the letter. You with me? Again, not every time, because we all have seasons with the Bible. A lot of times Bible reading for me is a have to, it's not a want to. Watching ESPN highlights, unless it's hockey. Sorry, did I offend? Or golf, now I know I offended on purpose. No, that was not true. That's more of a want to, but there's times where the Bible is a want to, but there's times where it's a have to. And it feels like medicine. And I don't always feel like, hey, I get to take medicine. No, but it's good for me, so I do it, that I know it. So there's different seasons. So I don't want to press that analogy too far. But again, for my sake, would you do this? If you, during our greeting time, shared your word or what you think is your word with someone, would you raise your hand? Ooh, several of you. All right. And the rest of you, I'll say, I'm trusting you're still in process to get your word, or you're too shy to share. We'll work on that too, but that's fine. I'm going to say a prayer for us, and then we're going to worship in song one more time. Let's pray. Father, we pray we wouldn't rush through this process. We would plug into you. We would take our time, and we would go through even the uncomfortable moments of silence and how long it might take. And we want it to be a drive-through experience versus a sit-down meal. Thank you for your patience with us. And we pray that each one of us would enjoy this wonderful journey. It would impact us, and you would impact others through us as well.